You're listening to BGO Blind Pig, BGO's official roundtable discussion of all things DC football. Come pull up a chair, pour a libation of your choosing, and join in some passionate DC football debate. BGO, a Burgundy and Gold obsession, is the most passionate, intelligent community of Washington football fans on the web since 2009. Join us at www.bgobsession.com.
One. What's up, fellas? We finally made it to another episode of the Blind Pig, courtesy of bgobsession.com. Entering week one against the Cardinals. Real quick with the intros. Top left is John. He hails as Boone. Bottom center is Mark. He hails as Ohm. My name is Derek, and you can find me as Silent Threat. Jump on the board, bgobsession.com. Once again, we have a bunch of contests. We talk about them every week, but that's because they're so fun. I believe we have until tomorrow at 8 to do the crystal ball pool. Is that correct?
Right before
kickoff of week one, which is tomorrow.
Mine's not in yet. So, yeah, Paul will take it. He'll take it. Right up to kickoff.
Some other things like pick 'em and stuff like that. So, and even if you miss tomorrow's game, you can still join, if I'm not mistaken, and submit. It will default to the away team, if I remember correctly. So please feel free to join in, have some fun, jump on the board. It's all we love new members, and we will be tailgating this weekend together, the four of us, if you include Bob, in one tailgate, you know, flying the BGO flag. So if you're at the game, pop by. Not sure we'll recruit much from this, but who knows? But
might scare some people away.
Right, that's true. One thing I wanted to touch on before we get digging into the Cardinals is, Mark, I had mentioned this thing that the that Rails and Harris are at, this dinner club, and Riggins is going to be there, and now he's actually going to be at the game. Like, is this a big deal, or am I making a big deal out of nothing? Because hadn't he written the team off since it had been named Commanders and said that don't even put my name on a jersey? And
he's been one of the few that was openly outspoken about not being associated with that group anymore. He's the only one I can think of who was as pointed about it. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal in that they were able to reach out to him and he said yes. The fact that Riggins is at the game, okay, Riggins is at the game, that's great. But I think it's another good sign for the new ownership group going forward and hitting all the right notes so far.
And, Derek, you've talked about this quite a bit, about how the whole outreach to, like, the legacy players, how badly it's been blown. And I don't know if there's anyone that's been as outspoken as Riggins, but certainly I think there's been enough information put out there that, like, former players don't want to come back. They don't feel welcome. You know, there's been a lot of noise around that over the years.
Yep.
And I think, to elaborate on what Mark said, I think it speaks to the fact that these guys, they were fans growing up, right? So they kind of know just inherently, like, if we won the lottery, I guess we'd have to win the Mega Millions. I don't know, to be a part of the ownership group, just like we would inherently know what some of the issues have been. I think they probably know that just from a personal, I grew up a fan during the heyday years. But I think they're also tuned in, like, excruciatingly focused on how fans feel and what fans want. And I mean, I'm sure that didn't happen by accident. I'm sure, I almost guarantee you, they reached out to Riggins and said, we want you to feel welcome at our games. You especially, and other guys from your era. I just have a feeling that that's probably what happened.
Well, a little nugget also came out that Rails apparently said him and Harris had lunches with 10 to 12 players at a time. Basically, the two of them were at a table, lunch table with 10 or 12 players at a time, just picking their brains, looking at what they wanted and needed. Like, I'm sorry, could the previous owner, could we ever believe that he would do anything like that? Little, you know, I mean, he had his favorites, but I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, but it sure as hell just seems like these guys get it.
What feels different to me is I'm not, I know Dan liked to be seen and associate with the star players. So he reached out for that. I don't suspect that he ever listened to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Dan always thought he was the smartest guy in the room about everything. And I think the difference here is that at least it looks like this new ownership group is interested in what people have to say and hopefully taking action based on that. That's a refreshing change.
Very fair. So, Sunday, we're here. We're 24 hours away from the first game of the season in the NFL. And we're less than 4 days away from our first game. So there's a lot to be talked about, I guess. Well, there's not a lot to be talked about as far as the competitive balance, because everybody's writing this off that the Cardinals are losing on purpose. And I don't know, it is still Sunday, but how are you guys feeling going into Sunday? What is your thought process? What do you guys think is going to happen?
I think I'm answering your question, but I'm going to answer it indirectly first. Somebody asked me today, a guy I've known forever and ever and ever. I haven't talked to him in 3 or 4 weeks. He's like, so how do you feel about the season? How do you feel about the team? Are you excited about it? And I actually had to stop and think about it and ended up giving a qualified answer, believe it or not, me, right? I couldn't give a straight answer, but I've been thinking about what I ended up telling him ever since. And that is that I'm excited because I've been following the X's and O's and the roster building and how I think it's going to play out. But I don't have that gut feeling yet that was half anticipation of winning and half fear of losing. Like it used to gut me when we lost so much. I've lost some of that over the last few years and have kind of gone medium to protect myself emotionally, I guess. Heading into this one, I'm a little above the Mendoza line, and I'm excited about it. But I think, and this is what I told my buddy, that if we end up, we're 5-3, and the team is playing well, and there's momentum building, I think it's not a big jump to go from where I am today to almost back to how it used to be, because I think I want it so bad after all these years. But I'm kind of holding it at arm's length a little bit emotionally still. I do expect us to win Sunday, spoiler alert. I think the real season starts in weeks 2 and 3 against better competition, and then we'll see more where we are. As far as my own personal and excitement level, I'm not quite able to make that leap into here we fucking go.
Yeah, I think the first thing that leaps to my mind is just how I'm as excited to be going to the game because I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a memorable Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's pouring down rain. I don't care what else is going on. That stadium is going to be fucking packed with
juice
fans that are out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Enthusiastic. And I don't think we've seen anything like what we're going to see on Sunday in 20 years. I really don't. And I think I don't know how the team cannot respond to that. I kind of expect. I'm just going to say I expect them to open up a can of whoop ass on the Cardinals, and it's going to go on for 4 quarters. And if they don't, it's going to be the biggest fail of all time for for Washington as a franchise, because they just can't. They can't, you know. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty in a minute here, but this is an inferior opponent. Even for us, it's an inferior opponent almost across the board, if not across the board. And we have a ton of talent. And just the moment demands that they show up, that our guys show up and kick some ass on Sunday. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Anything can happen in an NFL game, as we know. But I feel like it has to happen. And I think the players probably feel that as well. You know, they know. And I heard some of players talking. I heard Sam Howell talk about like what are you expecting on Sunday? And they know, right? They feel it just like we do, that this is different than it was last year at this time. It's a totally different thing. And I don't know what happens after week 1, but I expect us to really open up and convincingly win on Sunday. And I hope I'm not, you know, I wanted to say one other thing. I've heard a lot of fans, including some of our own guys on the board, kind of wallowing and like, I can't believe, you know, I'm traumatized from all the years of losing. And what I always want to say, what I wanted to say today when I heard that, because I've heard a lot of that You know, it's almost like Mark said, Mark didn't quite go there, but he stepped up to that line of, I'm afraid to hope that it's going to be different, because what if it isn't? But we haven't been a bad football team. And we really, even during the Gruden years, we almost always were on the borderline of a winning record and playoffs almost every season. It's kind of a myth we built up in our head that the team's only been winning 2 and 3 games a year. It hasn't been that bad, really, for even most of the Snyder era. It's just been bad enough. It's been tantalizingly bad enough that you hoped at some point during almost every season that we were going to somehow sneak in or somehow win the division, which we actually did during the Rivera era. But we haven't been a bad football team. So people talking about, you know, oh, we'll be lucky to win 7 games, or we do that every year. What are you talking about? And it's a better team. It's a better situation. So I'm super optimistic. I'm afraid to be super optimistic. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, I am a Redskins fan, Commanders fan. But I just choose to believe. I'm taking the risk of believing this year until I have reasons not to believe anymore.
Well, I want to ask you to then, is some of that rooted in the fact that we could lose Sunday and we're still 1-0 because Dan Snyder is not the owner of the team anymore. You know, like, Mark, you said you weren't feeling that fear in the pit of your stomach. Is that because you know that even if we lose Sunday, Dan's gone? We could lose. We could be 0-4. Dan is still gone.
That is the right question, Derek. And the thing I have, the first line I have written on my notes for tonight, and I've said this more than once in these last few podcasts, 2023 to me is we are playing with house money. For the very reason that you stated, that we're not going to go 0-17, but if we did, we would still be moving on to a new era with the chance to be competitive, because we're going to have competent professional sports ownership for the first time in quarter century. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's a big part of it. I'm excited about this team. And just to touch on, John, what you were saying, I'm walking up to the line. I am hopeful intellectually because I've studied the roster and I've watched, and I think I have a decent sense of what level this team could achieve if things go right and they don't lose everybody to injury. I'm not getting that emotional visceral reaction yet. And that's what I was talking about. And that will come if they come out and start playing and we're halfway through the season and this is a different looking football team and our quarterback can play. Brother, I'm going to be melting down on Sunday nights like I used to back in the day.
So, have you guys wondered if they're going to be – I just wanted to get this out there before we talk football. Have you guys – I'm I don't want the F Dan Snyder chant with 60,000 fans. I really hope we don't do that. It might be inevitable that is going to happen. Maybe. But I kind of hope that fans don't do it. Just because, you know what, just let him
be gone.
Let's not, like, the last thing I want to be thinking about on Sunday is Dan Snyder, even for long enough to chant.
You know when it might happen? If we're up 40-10, 5 minutes to go.
And so I think it could happen like right out of the gate. Like,
yeah, maybe.
They show Harris on the big screen, you know, and the new owner in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The one chant that keeps erupting like at camp was "Thank you, Josh."
I was about to say that. Thank you, Harris, or thank you, Josh, might be more about what we hear. So, all right, boys, on to football.
Woo-hoo.
Is there anything on the field? I guess it looks like Ian Rappaport reported today. Josh Dobbs is the likely starter coming into the week, despite the fact that his head coach, like an hour before that, said that they weren't going to tell everybody that they had. It was funny. My Twitter timeline said Gannon was asked if they had chosen a starter, and he said, yes, we've chosen a starter, but I'm not going to tell you that. And then within 45 minutes, Ian Rappaport broke the news that Josh Dobbs was expected to be starting, which was just hilarious.
Well, didn't that coincide with them going into their Wednesday practice to install everything?
Yeah.
Somebody had to take the first team snaps, right?
Well, so, how many years was that us where we're like, all right, well, we're not going to leak. And then it's like, why would you even leak that? But Josh Dobbs, who is very intelligent, the guy's literally a rocket scientist, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't he like some did master's degree in engineering and rocket and space aeronautics or whatever? But we've seen him once this year, ironically enough, when he was playing for the Browns.
Well, why? I guess I was surprised, assuming that that's accurate. And I guess you have to assume it's accurate if Rappaport's tweeting it. But I was surprised by that because Clayton Tune is clearly a better quarterback than Dobbs. I know.
That's interesting. Why would you, based on what?
Based on, okay, so Clayton Tune is, I know he's a rookie, but the guy, he threw for 11,000 yards. He's, I think all of his measurables are better. Josh Dobbs has been in the league since 2017. He's been on 6 different teams. He's played a total of 5 games. No, 8 games.
8 games.
And he's never thrown more than 58.8%. He's averaged 58% completion rate. I mean, the guy's a journeyman. Calling him a journeyman to me would be an insult to journeyman. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And at least with Clayton Tune, you know, I know he's a rookie, but okay, Dobbs has 8 more games than Tune does.
Well, and 3 or 4 years of experience and NFL training camps and practices and all that. To me, to answer your question, I would be starting Dobbs too, because the 5th round rookie who doesn't even have a year under his belt, like our 5th round rookie, has never seen an NFL live defense, and Del Rio would just be throwing so many looks at him.
I mean, it's not a good situation for him, but Dobbs just got there. You can't. I mean, I think that's a hard argument to make that he's better prepared.
Well, but he ran the Browns. He's going to be playing for the offensive coordinator or the head coach or whatever. He played for the Browns. Whoever's calling plays for him this weekend coached him last year with Tennessee and or the Browns. That's all I can figure, John. They're getting a little bit more experience and maybe a bit more mobility. I expect to see him running and outside the pocket all day long, and not standing behind what I suspect is going to be the key to the game is their offensive line. If they can't protect, it doesn't matter who they have back there.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any future BGO Blind Pig podcasts. On our YouTube channel, simply hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to BGO Blind Pig via Apple Podcasts or another podcast provider, go to our description page and click that follow button.
Yeah, I'm just surprised because I think Tune is the far more talented kid. That's just my, you know, fan opinion.
Well, if it is 40-10 in the third quarter, maybe we'll see Tune.
So I believe they have maybe one or two weapons on offense. Hollywood Brown is about it, right?
Hollywood Brown and James Conner, their running back, can play.
That's pretty much it. I mean, Conner's a pretty good. The biggest thing about Conner's is, I mean, he's one of those 700 yards a season guys, 750 yards a season, you know, 10 touchdowns a season kind of guys. But the big thing with him is he can catch the ball. You know, he's usually good for like 300 to 400 yards of receiving every year. So he's the best thing they got. And I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking about this on the way home from work today. If I was Arizona, I would try to grind this out. If I'm trying to win, I'm going to try to pound the ball and not put much pressure on whoever the quarterback is, and just try to limit the possessions that Washington has and hope that you keep it close and into the fourth quarter and then get lucky
or try to steal one.
Mm-hmm. Cause I don't see any chance they have if they go down early by a couple of touchdowns and then they're having to pass. I don't see that going well for them.
I think that's the key to the game, right? Is that we need to take control early on and not be playing them even and letting them start to believe in running the ball, which goes to the concerns I was talking about last week, actually all the last 3 weeks, is I still haven't seen our defense shut anybody down on the run. I know it was preseason, but I need to see it. Do we know if Zach Ertz is playing yet? He's limited practice today, but he's not been ruled out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what Ertz is like 32 years old. He can still play, but I know last year I looked at him today. Last year was his lowest yards per catch in his career. He caught like 406 yards of receiving yards.
Yeah, such a terrible
Touchdown.
team they had last year, though.
So, I mean, he's a pretty good tight end, but I mean, they just don't, even the guys they have behind, like Connor and Zach Ertz and Brown,
Marquise Brown.
kind of, I mean, they got Rondale Moore, he's okay, but he's a small, I mean, he's tiny receiver. And then they're actually playing two rookies. They've got Michael Wilson, who's their third wide receiver. He's a rookie. He's pretty good. He's a Stanford kid, and he's, got good size. And then they're playing Michael, they're playing Amari DeMarcado. He's their third string running back, and that he's kind of like Kazmir Allen, except he made the roster for them. He's like 5'9", just, that kind of a speedster player. So you can tell that they've got a lot of holes on their roster because a lot of rookies are getting playing time or, starting.
Well, and it doesn't help that they traded away their number one linebacker and their number one defensive back in the weeks leading up to this game. So,
Yep.
and then on top of that, they released Colt McCoy. And if for no other reason to keep him in the building is because he's got, a relatively intricate knowledge of your playbook. And he's been taking reps with the first team for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and Colt is competent, right?
Yeah.
He's a competent
Apparently, he had an injury
fill-in quarterback.
to his shoulder or something, right? But even then, I mean, to have you would imagine, especially with a rookie and then trading for Dobbs, a guy that, yes, he's got a history with the offensive coordinator, but he hasn't been in this room forever. To have a guy like Colt McCoy there would have some level of value, and they decided to move on from that. So, it all does beg the question that you ask of what are we actually going to see? Now, the guys that are playing, let's be honest, the 22 starters and the 53, the 46 guys or whatever it is that are going to be actually suited up, their intention is going to be to win the football game. So, make no mistake about it, but I also don't think they're putting an emphasis on 2023. So,
Well, I mean, I think the most obvious thing that jumps out at you is you got a first year head coach who I don't know if you guys have seen some of the clips of him talking up the troops.
yeah, and they just look like they're watching an infomercial at
I mean,
three
that
o'clock in the
maybe
morning.
that's not fair. Maybe that was just a bad day. I don't know, but
Yeah.
it didn't look promising. Who was the Jets coach a couple of years ago? It kind of reminded me of that guy.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And then there
I can't
was,
remember.
of course, the other side of that is 2 years ago, the Eagles knucklehead head coach sounded pretty stupid, and look what he's done. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
but they've got their offensive coordinator is also his first year. That's who you're referring to earlier, Drew Petzing. He was the Browns quarterback coach, so he's never been an offensive coordinator. Been in the NFL for like 10 years, and then Nick Rallis,
And the
who's
defensive coordinator too, right? He's also new.
yeah, he was a Eagles running back coach the previous season. So the only guy that's been a coordinator is their special teams guy, Jeff Rogers, he's been there doing that for a long time. Kind of makes you wonder why they didn't make him the head coach, to be honest with you, but
They had to make him assistant head coach so they could keep him and pay him more.
probably, yeah.
He's assistant head coach, special teams coordinator.
So that coaching situation coupled with the quarterback situation, I just think that makes it a really tough for them in an opener.
It's a
Yeah, it
big
would be
ask.
really
It's a
hard to put
big
that
ask.
together.
They're doing everything new. So the only thing, and again, I don't see them having enough to be able to beat Washington in the opener. But what scares you about a situation like that is they're coming in playing with nothing to lose at all, and they'll be running any trick play that they think they've been able to coach their guys up to play, and they'll be doing onside kicks and right. They're just playing loose. So That's the only thing that scares me. A couple of weird bouncing balls, and who knows what the hell happens.
And after trashing Joshua Dobbs for 5 minutes, I also will say, you know, there's always like who is it, like Matt Ryan, or we brought up Colt McCoy, not Matt Ryan, but help me out, the Green Bay quarterback backup who came out and like had some amazing games.
We've always done this to any mobile quarterback, especially.
Any quarterback can go out there and have an amazing, like just have a career day.
Right. Against us. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not even just against us, but I mean, it happens every year where everyone's writing a team off and they come in, like Mark said, they don't have anything to lose. And, you know, our guys have a lot of pressure on them. That's one, I'm sure it's crossed your all's mind. Like it's a lot like, okay, it's hard enough to win an NFL football game, but like, hey, this is like the NFL game of catharsis for Washington for all time. Like you're, not only do you have to win, but you have to rid us of every demon we've ever had.
Thank you for using that word, because I think I used that word when you and I first talked about going to this game. I said, this is going to be a cathartic event for Washington fans. Mm-hmm. And I've tried not to say it too many times because I don't want it to lose its meaning. But this is more about just this game. But they really need to kind of win this one to make it all work. If they don't lose it, oh my God, you talk about letting the air out of the balloon.
I mean, is this one of those games that you look at and the planets just have to align for this? Like the karmic gods are just like looking at this game saying, okay, it's here for you. Just take it. Just pick the ball up and run. You know what I mean? Like how many, it just makes too much sense for them to come out and look, I'll tell you what though, the most impressive thing would be to see this team come out hot. That is something we have not seen, not only on a game-by-game basis, but a season-by-season basis. It seems that the slow starts, we can't afford to have a slow start. You know what I mean? We can't be in a 9-7 dogfight at halftime, you know? Like, this team has got to – I hope they're going to feed off of it. I think Bieniemy is going to bring a level of intensity that is not going to let this offense come out there just get flat. You know what I mean? And I just hope the defense can keep up.
Yeah. And I think Mark's exactly right. You know, even though I did my best to give the counterpoint view of the defense last week, you know, the defense having rested their guys all preseason for the most part, which speaks to a high degree of confidence, right? That they're going to be ready to go, whether that's wrong or not. But also they spent some serious capital on that defensive backfield in the draft. And they have to come out and look solid and shut down and force some turnovers and get to the quarterback in this game. They absolutely have to. That's the only thing I could see going, you know, horribly wrong, because you can get some unlucky bounces on offense or unlucky calls on offense. But if the defense play, I mean, really the defense alone, if they play up to their capabilities, should be enough to almost
win this game. Yeah. And control the narrative. Yeah.
They're almost competing thoughts. On the one hand, what I really fear most about this whole game is watching what's happened in preseason, all three games, that the offense comes out and either does or doesn't score, or we put our defense on the field first and we promptly give up a 7-minute drive because we're sitting back playing catch and just playing, you know, playing the bend, don't break, and maybe hopefully only give a field goal. I think that would be the wrong approach. I think what I would love to see is Jack Del Rio do what he rarely does, and that's come out swinging early. He almost always starts in kind of a conservative posture. And I suspect he's going to do that on Sunday against a team that he has no idea what kind of offense he's going to face. He has no idea what they're going to run. So I don't think we're going to be up playing press man and sending extra bodies. I think we're going to be rushing four and dropping seven and trying to keep everything in front and try to, you know, make a play on third down. It's risky. It might make my hair explode. Well, that already happened, but I just, to me, really the key to the game to me is this, is our front four or five against their offensive line. If we can't immediately disrupt them, stop the run and put pressure on the passer and start sitting back and letting the Cardinals get in the game, then that's a football game. And I don't want this to be a football game.
Well, to that point, you wonder if Del Rio did that because of the lack of offense that we've had in years past. And, you know, he was kind of pointed towards that. Like, Rivera went to Del Rio and they sat down and said, Del Rio, man, we cannot afford to lose the game for this team. You know, and maybe Bieniemy coming in says, Bieniemy can look at Del Rio and said, Del Rio, go get him. You give up 7, we ain't going to win 6-0. I'll get you. You know what I mean? Like, I've got something for you. And hopefully this offense can be enough that you don't have to worry every play on defense on pins and needles because you're afraid to give up a big play, which ends up resulting in a big play anyways. But I hope you come at them.
Our defense showed last year that they can be a really solid defense. They just, as to Mark's point, they just can't wait 6 games to start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to, and I know we've heard from both Rivera and from Del Rio, we've heard it at different times that we got to start fast. We can't be sluggish either at the start of games or for a stretch of the early season. So hopefully there, I know one thing Rivera has said repeatedly, he said a lot of things repeatedly, but one of the things he's really said over and over again is that practice this year has felt different, like the intensity level. And I chalk that up to Bieniemy. I really do.
Bingo.
Sound like Ron Rivera there saying, I really do after everything, every point I make. I really, really do. But I think that Bieniemy has brought, and Rivera would never say this, that we were slack ass and undisciplined and didn't have a leader running the offense, and now we do. He won't say that, but I'll say it, and I think that's true. And I was a big defender of Scott Turner for a long time, but I think what we're going to find out this year is that's what was missing was discipline and someone holding players accountable and saying, no, that wasn't fucking good enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it trickles to the other side of the ball, even though Bieniemy's not over it. But
yes.
when the defense comes to line up and they watch the offense get pulled back into the huddle 3 times because he didn't like the way they were breaking the huddle. And then they're like, you know, then guess what happens? The offense is that much more intense in practice. And you hope that pushes the defense, even if Del Rio or Rivera isn't pushing them himself or themselves, but simply going up against watching that on the other side of the ball can kind of, you know, hopefully amp them up a little bit, give them a little bit more of that intensity.
And if you're not going, you know, I don't know how demoralizing it is to the defense to like make a big stop, which they did a lot of that last year in the red zone, make a big stop, you know, limit them to a field goal or no points at all. And then 3 plays later, they're out there again because turned it over or sputtered or made it.
You're punting from your own end zone. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a huge factor it does affect both sides of the ball, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah. And since our friend Paul isn't here tonight, I'll say it for him. Complementary football. That's what you're talking about. And that's the benefit of having an offense, by the way, which, Patrick Mahomes showed that it can be done. Remember when they lost Tyreek Hill, everyone thought, oh, no more downfield passing game.
Well, all they did was go win a Super Bowl.
Well, and all they did was change their whole philosophy and go to kind of a possession 5-7 yards at a time, suck the defense up and then go over the top. I think we're going to see a lot of what we did see in preseason, not the actual plays, but the philosophy of the short controlled passing game early, to, you know, get 5 yards over the middle to the tight end. 2nd and 5 is a hell of a lot better than 2nd and 11 when you got stuffed against a 7-man front. So I think we are going to move the ball and extend possessions more than we were able to do before to keep the defense fresh.
So we got some good news today, at least on the face of it. I haven't heard anything about Jonathan Allen's plantar fasciitis. Logan Thomas is not on any injury list on the internet.
He was a full participant today.
Mm-hmm.
So he is totally healthy is what I'm hearing. Terry practiced today. Now, I guess tomorrow will be the that'll probably be the more important one, right? Like, he's out there running routes today, but he certainly looked like he could run. Whether or not he's, you know, feeling it or not, or is limited, I don't know. But and then of course Chase, who I'm not as concerned about because I don't know where he fits into the whole scheme of things anyway. But he apparently, by all accounts, is going to be there ready to go on Sunday, at least according to him. So, you know.
Well, he says he's ready, but they're waiting for clearance from the doctor.
Yep. So he's probably the biggest asterisk, and he's the one I'm least concerned about because we got plenty of guys that can get to the quarterback on a good day.
So here's – I know we don't get in a whole lot into the weeds on X's and O's and all that, but thinking about this game, our widely recognized – our the strength of our team should be the defensive line, particularly the defensive tackles. And so I figured I'd go look and see who they're going up against. And I think this is what I'm going to suggest. This is what I'll be watching with my binoculars at the game on Sunday. I'll do this fairly quickly, but the three interior linemen for the Cardinals, they have potentially a great right tackle in Paris Johnson, the first lineman taken in the draft. He's a stud. I don't know if he's ready to play yet. We'll find out. I'm less worried about him. The guys that I'm going to be focusing on are their left guard, Elijah Wilkinson. And I pulled up their pages. Elijah Wilkinson is a rookie free agent out of UMass. I pulled up his stats in here somewhere. He's played in 66 games throughout his NFL career with one, two, three. This is his fourth team. He's a journeyman left tackle. He's a big guy. He's 6'6", 314. Their center, whose name I'm going to butcher, Yalte Froholt, is a five-year veteran. He's 6'5", 310. He's a three-year veteran. He was with the Patriots the last 2 years with the Browns. He started 17 games for the Browns last year. He's a guy. So those two guys will be sharing duty on Jonathan Allen, if I'm doing my math right. And the right guard is Mr. Will Hernandez, who is...
Wow, I didn't realize he was there.
Who is a six-year veteran. He's 6'2", 332.
He was drafted by the Giants, right?
Three, four, five-year vet. He did his first 4 years with the Giants. Last year with the Cardinals, he played in 13 games. So none of these are Pro Bowl level offensive linemen. And those are the three guys who are going to be responsible for handling the interior of our defensive line. That looks on paper just to be a huge matchup in our favor. And I think we'll get a sense of that early on. If we're not able to push the center of the pocket early on and shut down the center or the run, right, you know, over guard, it might be a longer day than it needs to be. But look for that. That's a clear advantage on our side.
Well, the other part of that is we're going to need to make sure we maintain gaps because Dobbs does have the ability to break the pocket. Now, I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray even, but I do think he could make us pay a little bit if these guys allow him to go north and south between the hash marks.
That's probably – honestly, that might be why they went with him. Yeah. Was because
the X factor.
I just think that dual threat quarterback that's kind of what they've run with, right? Since Kyler Murray got there. And Clayton Tune ain't no dual threat guy. I mean, Clayton Tune is a good athlete, but he's not gonna beat you with his feet. So that might have been one of the factors in why they went with Dobbs along with some of the stuff Mark.
I think it's going to be a playground offense that they run, John. If they can't come out early and establish off tackle and basic pass pro, I think you're going to see Dobbs moving all night long, rollouts and scrambles. And we are not necessarily the best at keeping contain against scrambling quarterbacks. That to me is the key to the game. Can you shut down just the straight run stuff and make them scramble, and hopefully our secondary that's been upgraded can make some plays, take the ball away a couple of times.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you enjoy the BGO Blind Pig podcast, you may enjoy the video version. Visit YouTube and search BGO Blind Pig to access over 100 previous episodes. However you enjoy BGO Blind Pig, we thank you for listening.
So, we haven't talked about their special teams. I can't believe Matt Prater is still kicking. The guy is 30, and I don't mean that literally, but he's a place kicker. he's still kicking and ticking, but he's 39. And I mean, he's a very good kicker. He's been to the Pro Bowl several times over his career. I looked because I was hoping I was going to see that he was terrible in 2022. You know, I wanted to see steady decline, but I hope it didn't come down to special teams, by the way, but he did not miss anything inside 40 yards last year. He missed two in the 40 to 49 yard range and only missed one of 50 and below, or excuse me, 50 or beyond. He's only kicked one kick in his career over 60 yards. So if we can keep him outside of 60, we're okay. But anyway, he's still doing it, man. At least last year, he was still doing it.
39 years old.
And then they have this guy, Greg Dortch, who handles all of their return duties, punt returns and kick returns. Last year, he averaged almost 7 yards a punt return, no touchdowns, averaged 21 yards per kick return, no touchdowns. So it doesn't look like they've got anyone, if he's back there, that we have to worry about being a home run hitter, kind of a kick return.
I hope we don't. I would just as soon us not even take a chance on kick returns, put it through the end zone. Just make them start at the 25 and drive the length of the field on us.
I agree with that.
What do you guys think about how, if you're the Cardinals, how are you going to defend Washington?
I tell you what
I'm going to do. I'm going to run a lot of looks and see if I can get Buda Baker to steal one.
Yeah.
From, force Sam to make quick late reads and try to get that, try to turn him over.
They've got Buda Baker and then their interception leader last year, who was still on the team. One of the few guys they didn't trade away. They have unavailable their passing yards leader, obviously Kyler Murray, their wide receiving yards leader last year in Hopkins, and then their sack leader from last year. All those guys are gone, but they did retain Buda Baker and also their cornerback Marco Wilson. He was their interception leader last year. So that's
a good player.
Those are the two guys you have to worry the most about in terms of defense.
I don't know that they're going to. Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
To answer your question, how do I think back to, I don't, do you remember, God, it's probably been about 15 years or now, but Cleveland had this thing they called the UFO defense, where they at times even would drop a defensive tackle back into like Mike linebacker or split him. That's the only way if I'm the Cardinals, it is all bets are off. It is controlled chaos. It is attempt at mass confusion and hope you get lucky a couple times and it works. You know, the one thing
talking about going like blitz happy, Derek,
not just blitz happy, just
because I kind of feel like that's what they need to try early, because we got Sam Howell with one NFL regular season start under his belt, but
in a week in our weakest position that we all believe is probably our line.
Feel like the O-line, right?
Yeah, I think you're right, Derek, both of you. That's exactly what I would be doing if I was on the other side. I wouldn't run the same defensive front twice the whole game. I would keep mixing it up and just try to force us, because, we've got a new coordinator and a new quarterback and some new pieces on the OL. If they can't stop the run, though, if we can line up and smash them in the mouth and get 3 or 4 yards of carry early in the game, they're in for a long day. Because by the fourth quarter, we'll be getting 8 yards of carry. Because I don't think they can stand up physically. So I think they need to stir the pot, man, and try to create some chaos and get some turnovers.
Dude, that's a good segue into something I wanted to ask you guys. which is we've only seen preseason EB, right? We've only seen little flashes of like what Eric Bieniemy's offense might look like, but it's not been under, it's not game planning. It's not against starters most of the time. So my big question is what are the roles for these guys going to be like? And I just jotted down a couple names. Like, what is Logan Thomas going to be like? Is he going to try to make him into a Kelce type role where he's like one of the dominant targets? Antonio Brown, is he going to be a receiver? Is he going to be a running back? Is he going to be a third down back?
Like Antonio Gibson?
Yeah. Gibson. What'd I say?
Brown. I wish we had Antonio
Brown. No, you don't. Gibson, Curtis Samuels, and Brian Robinson. I don't have any idea of what to expect in terms of like, what kinds of formations are we going to see? What are we going to be throwing to the running backs quite a bit? Are we going to be pounding it? What are we going to, I just don't know. Help me out.
No, and that's the same question that they're asking out in Tempe in the coaching rooms. Like, what the fuck are we going to defend? I think that Bieniemy, if what I would like to do in that position, I don't want to overcomplicate it for my offense and my new young quarterback. I want to early on, for the first couple of series anyway, I'd like to see what my matchups look like, physical matchups on the OL. Am I getting any push in the run game? Can I get Robinson going? Man, if I can get Robinson going, he's churning out first downs, I'm sticking with that for a while.
Yeah, that's going to check a lot of boxes before you even need to ask the questions.
Right. You kind of need to know that early. Am I going to be able to run, or am I going to have to start scheming things up? And I think early on, you're going to see a lot of quick passes out of Sam. I think he's going to be taking 2 and 3 steps and getting it out to the flats to whoever's there.
Timing routes.
And I think he's going to try to work the tight ends in. I'd be curious to see how often Thomas and Turner are on the field at the same time. I don't know what the hell you do with that.
So
as a defensive coach,
that brings me to kind of a segue in that John, you asked about, is he going to turn Logan Thomas into Kelce? And Mark, I present the question to you guys. Was the Kansas City offense so centered around the tight end because that was by design, or was it because they had an arguably the best tight end to ever play football as their tight end, so they designed the offense around the tight end? Like, it's chicken or egg here. So I'm curious, like, do we think that Bieniemy is going to bring that same philosophy here, or is it just that he was so well adaptive in Kansas City, he knew he had such a weapon that he made it work?
I don't think it's because I think you cannot possibly ignore the fact that Kelce's probably the best tight end that's ever lived. I mean, arguably, but it is. I mean, he's certainly in the conversation.
He's one of the best route running tight ends I've ever seen.
He's the most athletic.
Pass catching tight. So he might not be the best tight end, but one of the best pass catching tight ends to ever play football.
But he's in the conversation. So I don't think you can not. I think you have to give a lot of validity to that. He's a special player, and so guess what?
they designed a way to get him the ball.
Right. But I do think that just my feeling, because I've been struggling all preseason, like, are they bubble wrapping Thomas because they know he's brittle and he can't, he's probably only got half a season in him and they're bubble wrapping him. That's why we're not seeing him. Or do they just know that he's going to be that big a part of it that they don't? I know I'm saying kind of the same thing, but with a different emphasis on it. They know how good he is. Bieniemy does. And he's going to sacrifice a little bit of rust early on because he knows that he's going to be a huge part of the offense.
My thoughts on Kelce have been that yes, he is unquestionably a great route runner and got good hands, and he can make plays with his feet after he make the catch. I don't know how much of that offense is Mahomes has options on almost every play.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mahomes and Kelce are so tuned in together, and Mahomes has so much confidence in him that he looks for him. But I suspect that offense in KC, at least, because Mahomes is in his fourth year now, uses him a lot, and he's got options on every play. And he finds the guy who's routinely open. I don't know that here EB will have had a chance to get that kind of comfort level with Sam to give him that kind of read options on every play. I suspect there will be more actual play calls. And early on, I think he's going to try to spread it around, get everybody involved to force defenses just to cover the whole field and not focus on a primary guy.
I said it last time we potted, though, and I still think we're going to see this. I think Bannemy saw a lot of similarities. I'm not comparing Howell to Mahomes, but I think he saw enough in Howell, and then he's looking at all the weapons that we have, all that talent on offense, and he's seeing, like, this is – I can work with this, with this group, and that's why I'm going to go to a team where I might be on a one-year contract. And with all the turmoil, he still came. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think Bienemy sees that. That's not any great amount, nugget of wisdom I'm dropping there.
No, but it's definitely a fair, I hate to call it an assumption, but it is kind of an assumption. But that is a fair conclusion to come to, is that maybe he looked at this situation. And
did you guys? Go ahead, Derek.
We could be looking back midway, two-thirds of the way through the season. Would either one of you be surprised if Howell was somewhere around the 10th spot when it comes to statistical categories as a quarterback when we're 10 games into the season?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any future BGO Blind Pig podcasts. On our YouTube channel, simply hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to BGO Blind Pig via Apple Podcasts or another podcast provider, go to our description page and click that follow button.
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all. We've seen his arm. We know he can make any throw on the field. I think we all suspect that Eric Bieniemy won't be afraid to let him throw to any spot on the field, that he'll give him trust.
We know he's got the playmakers.
He's got the playmakers to do it. So no, if things break well and the defense isn't giving up 8-minute drives five times a game so we don't get time of possession, yeah, I think we have a chance to run up some numbers. And I think it's going to come down to what we've talked about every preseason the last few years is – We're always, and we have been, even under Scott Turner, pretty good at getting between the 20s offensively. We just couldn't score touchdowns. Sunday, if we get down to the 24 times, we need to get 3 touchdowns out of it, like the better NFL teams do, not 1 field goal or 2 field goals and 1 touchdown and a penalty, That was a long way of saying, yes, I think he could be a top 10 quarterback halfway through the season if things break, right?
Did you guys see how either read the interview that The Athletic did with him, which, by the way, if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, that's like the best dollar a month you'll ever spend. I'm a big fan of that, their stuff. But he did an interview on The Athletic, and I apologize, I don't remember who wrote the article. And then he also did a sit down with Sheehan, Kevin Sheehan, yesterday. And both of those, it kind of blows me away. The guy just knows. Not only does he know what to say, but he knows not what not to say. I'm not saying that's going to make him a great quarterback, but he's the smartest communicator we've had under center, as far as like just having that savvy of, they were talking to him a lot about like nerves, and he's like, no, I don't get nerves. I've been playing this game since I was a little kid. I just focus on what I'm supposed to be doing on the field. Whether that's true or not, I would be surprised if he doesn't have goosebumps out there on Sunday when that crowd of 60,000 fans starts cheering or whatever. But I don't know, man. He seems like he's just got that. I don't know what the name for it is, man.
He's like the gunslinger, man. I love the whole kind of slow, laconic approach. And he's soft-spoken and doesn't get too excited. All of that plays pretty well, before he throws 4 interceptions.
Thank you for not saying he keeps it medium. I appreciate it.
No, because I always thought that was like glass half empty, keeping it medium, I want something that sounds more like glass half full. Like he's chill.
I'm not predicting he'll be around 10. I'm just saying by week 10, would either of you, if we looked back, would you either of you be completely flabbergasted that he was in that position? And I think we could easily find a way to connect the dots to get us there. Now, like, I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. Like, don't get me wrong, but.
I would not be flabbergasted if we won the NFC East. I'm just, that's where I'm at in my mind. Not that I don't recognize like all the things in our way to get to achieve that, but it's not impossible.
Well, the talent gap isn't that far. It really isn't. I mean, if you look at the Giants roster up and down and ours up and down, you really could make a case that either one is the stronger roster top to bottom. I think we've got tons of playmakers. We're pretty solid on the DL. The Cowboys.
I think we're well ahead of them in playmakers.
I like our roster better than theirs is where I was going with that. With
the coaching staff has got to step it up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked a lot about that, but Del Rio cannot, his defense cannot start slow. They cannot go into prevent at the end of games. And Rivera has got to do a better job of just game management. And I'm actually, tell me if I'm wrong, but does anyone feel like Bieniemy has the most confidence of any of those coaches?
Oh, absolutely.
At least from the fan base.
Well, he hasn't. Right. I mean, he's on a honeymoon period.
He's like the back, right? He's the backup quarterback, right?
I can flat guarantee you that if the game is tight on Sunday, there will be plenty of Twitter questions on Monday about how could he have called a drop play on 3rd and 6 at the 14-yard line with 2 minutes, you know. So right now he's in a perfect honeymoon period. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. There's so many storylines here. And we're going to keep reminding ourselves of this all year. The key to this season, again, is one guy on the field. If this young quarterback can play and he can run a competent NFL offense with these playmakers, this team could do something.
By the way, I just wanted to dispel the rumor because I've heard it a lot. Sam Howell is not a Swiftie. He's never been to see Taylor Swift, although he did talk about how he would be willing to go see her because, you know, there's a lot of hype around her, but he is not a Swiftie. So
he's not going to go grab a burger with Taylor Swift. So we should get some predictions on record here, gentlemen.
Well, why don't we start with the guy who's not here?
Yeah.
And by the way, we will not only be experiencing the game and seeing the game, we will be tasting and smelling the game.
That's right. apparently, Rail said that there have been changes even since the last preseason game to the fan experience at FedEx Field. So it'll be interesting to. That's another thing nobody's talking about. Just the feeling of that building, not just around the team, but the whole thing. So, what do you guys predict? Do we want to go through Bob's first? Bob posted his because he couldn't be on here.
Yep, go for it.
I want to just pull it up and double check that I don't botch this, but I want to say he said, yep, Washington 31, Arizona 10. Can you imagine a 3-touchdown win in that environment? That place is going to be bananas.
We're going to win so much, we're going to be tired of winning.
I'm telling you, we're going to get bored in week one.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, I'm kidding.
So I don't know. It's hard to say this with a straight face, given our history. But I have a premonition that we're going to be up 21-0 in this game. Like, not in the first quarter, but with plenty of time left in the first half, and one of those is going to be a defensive score. That's my prediction. And then we'll go on to win, like, I'm going to say 38-10.
Jesus.
I'm going to one up Bob by one touchdown.
I love you guys.
Go ahead, brother Derek.
All right. I am equally as bullish. Everything leads me to believe that should be the case. But because Washington is going to Washington until they prove to me that they're not going to Washington, I'm going to make things a little more interesting. I'm going to say final score is 24-13, you know, which would still cover the spread. That's still an 11-point victory. I think we would all be happy with that. You know, with maybe that, maybe that 13 being like a late, it's 24-6. They score a touchdown, kick the extra point with 6 minutes to go, and then we grind it out or something. But I have a hard time believing, you know, I hope we win by 28. God, I hope you're right, John. What about you, Mark?
I've got us 30-16, and I think the 16 is because we give up like 3 field goals. I think we will give up some yardage, and they'll kick 3 field goals, and it'll be like a 27-9 game or a 24-9 game late. And they'll get a garbage score late because Jack Del Rio will go into sit back mode and let them run out the clock and get a cheap touchdown. So I'm going 30-16. And I don't know if we'll get a defensive touchdown, but I do suspect that we'll get a touchdown from the defense. Like they'll turn the Cardinals over deep in their own end, and we'll have an easy offensive score, or we'll get a defensive score.
So I'm going to go even more on the line. I'm going to call it Forbes in the second quarter takes one to the house.
That would be a really nice start to the young man's career.
I promise I'm not trying to be a wet blanket, but I don't. How many times did we even score 30 points last season? But Bieniemy is the ultimate fact. So you know what? Don't even answer that question.
Exactly.
I'm riding with you guys, and I pray that you guys are right.
Well, I mean, I was going to even go 27, but my initial thought was like a 27-16, but the 30 feels pretty good too. And I think we do ride the catharsis. And the team can't help but respond to the kind of atmosphere that's going to be there, maybe to the point that we don't let off the gas like we tend to do when we have a lead late.
I just have a message for the players. Please don't make us look like jackasses.
You mean for supporting you and holding on for this long?
Well, but John, I thought you were embracing it and going with hope. You were embracing hope.
I am. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. A little encouragement never hurts anything.
No, you are 100% right. 100% right. All right, well, gentlemen. So, boy, we'll either look pretty good or we're going to feel pretty stupid a week from tonight.
A week? Like, try 5 days from now.
Well, I mean, when we have to face our
we have to face the music again. Yeah,
yeah, that's all right. We've made our commitment, so
yes, we have. I feel good about it.
All right, boys, I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of days.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Enroll, man. Here we go.
Night, gents.
Thanks for listening to BGO Blind Pig. Join us next time as we once again dive into the ups and downs of DC football fandom. And don't forget to check out our incredible community of Washington football fans at www.bgobsession.com.